We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome everybody to Redemption Church. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm so glad you're here today. Thank you everybody that's in the room, everybody that's joining us online. We have got a special day for us because we are baptizing somebody today. We ought to be really excited about that. We love to see people take their next steps in Jesus, and somebody's doing that today, and it's Rose, and we're so glad about that. That she just ran right here, and she's down in Children's Church, and before today's over, she is going to be baptized in the name of our Savior, and we want you to be a part of that and help us celebrate. My name is Chris Fluitt, if you didn't know, and I'm so glad to meet every one of you and have fellowship with you. We are in the final week of our series, Healthy New Year. It's the fifth and final week. And I want to give a big thanks. We've had big time guests come through the last 3 weeks. We had Linus Gilbert come talk to us about healthy minds, and he used all of his knowledge in that. And then we had Darren and Becky Nelson. He is an ER doctor, and she's got a holistic practice in down towards Mansfield, Midlothian area. And they came and talked to us about having a healthy body. And last week, Matt Hadaball, missionary to Beirut, Lebanon, and world changer, he came and talked to us how to have a healthy year by rising above all the struggle and just not participating in the struggle. What a great word. Can we hear it for the people that came and blessed us over the last 2 weeks? Isn't that awesome? The only bad news is none of those people are here today. You have to hear me, all right? I'm so glad to be able to share with you. Today, we're going to talk about something essential, but often overlooked. We're going to talk about your soul. Somebody say your soul. I'm entitling this Soul Food, Discover Health from the Inside Out. I have trouble with life balance. That's me. I really have trouble with life balance. Y'all know what life balance is? I got to do all this stuff over here. And about the time I'm about to fall over this way, I'm like, oh yeah, but I also have to do stuff over here. And I get just way out of balance with my time, with my energy, with my focus. I can get off balance at any time of day. Off balance. That's me. My tasks are not static. They are never the same task. Tasks get thrown at me by phone calls. I have moments that may require outsized time, energy, and focus. And it might be just too much for me at any moment. That's just how my day goes. I'm not trying to complain to you, but I'm just trying to help us here talk about a subject. I want you to look at today's schedule. This is like today's schedule for me sometimes. This is what a today's schedule looks like. Multiple hospital visits or somebody is in need and it's called a benevolence phone call. And now I'm trying to meet with them and I'm praying for them. And I'm trying to find a way to insert Christ into their life. At the same time, keep them not homeless. That happens. And then there's emergency counseling. They're like, we're going crazy over here. Cats and dogs living together. Can you come talk to us, Pastor? I'm like, sure, I know just what to say. And I'm praying like you wouldn't believe while I'm driving over there. And then there's ministry training. We have connect groups. We have baptism, Bible studies. We have next steps. We have leadership initiative strategy sessions where we're trying to get things together and get things working. And then there's my family. At all times, I am juggling a 7-month baby. Juggling the baby and other children and carpooling. Like I always find myself in the day going, oh my gosh, you are about to forget your children. I have like 5 different alarms set to remind me so I don't forget a child. They would never let me live that down. And then there's these OMG, what am I preaching this Sunday? I like have to do that on top of all this stuff. And that's just like a normal kind of day for me. That just happens, all right? Life gets really frantically crazy. And so what I know is this. Life's demands are big. And the only way to survive and thrive is to have a healthy soul. That's the first blank. If you're taking notes today, we handed out those things. That's your first blank right there. The only way to survive and thrive is to have a healthy soul. Now, full discretion, complete transparency. I try to have a healthy soul, but I still have trouble with life balance. And sometimes I have to shut things down and I have to recharge. But many people wonder how I survive the demands of life. And I want to tell you today that you can only give what you have. And you can only withdraw from a bank account that you've made a deposit. And you can only build on a foundation that was previously laid. And the key for my daily grind in all of this is to make deposits, to lay a foundation, to give to the area of my soul. Every day of my life, I try to feed my soul. You can relate, I think, to the outsized demands. Just nod at me if you go, yeah, some days are crazier than others. Some weeks are crazier than others. Some months, we go through seasons that are just outsized demands, and that your schedule too looks crazy. And we know the feeling of being drained. All the different kind of ways that you can be drained. You're drained physically. You're drained emotionally. You're drained spiritually. Your bank account is drained. Your gas can is drained. My goodness, what are they doing to eggs in this country? They're like, I have to take out a loan this week to make an omelet. My refrigerator is drained from eggs right now. We have 3 eggs to our name right now. And we're like, Lord, multiply these eggs. Multiply them. Take them, break them, and bless them, Lord. We know what it feels like to be drained. And if you are drained and you still came to church today, I admire you. Thank you so much for being here today. I want to tell you that we live in a society that emphasizes external achievements over inner peace. And you know what the results of that are? The result is rising rates of anxiety, rising rates of depression, and especially among young adults. A recent study recently found that nearly 40% of those in the millennial age group experience anxiety, and that number is increasing. 40%, and it's on the way up. What's the issue there? Well, we are totally focused on external things, like Instagram likes, like getting ahead and being able to have a Tesla, like having the nice cars and going and getting our picture made while we're out at dinner so we can go to social media and get more Instagram likes. And all of these things are these external achievements. And all the while, no one is focusing on inner peace. We're constantly bombarded with messages telling us to be more, to achieve more, and to buy more. But rarely are we encouraged to look inward. Next week, we have a Super Bowl party here. I invite you all to come. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have a worship time during halftime, so you don't have to see what is weird in going on there. If you want to see what's weird, you can watch it on YouTube later. But we're having all this stuff. I just want to challenge you. Next week, when you're watching the Super Bowl, I believe our Cowboys are in it, right? Nathan, I'm sure our Cowboys have made the Super Bowl. When you are watching the Super Bowl, I want you to watch the ads. Because every ad is going to tell you to be more, achieve more, and to buy more. And not a single ad is going to say, hey, look inward. Be encouraged. Grow on the inside. Be a better person. You are not going to hear those messages. They aren't considered profitable to the CEO. We begin to give what we don't have in life. We start giving things we don't have. You don't have the time to give, but you are giving it. We're making withdrawals without ever making any deposits. And it bankrupts relationships. And we're building where there is no foundation and wondering why everything we're trying to accomplish seems to fall apart. Why is this happening? It's because we do not feed our soul. So I want you to say these 3 words with me. Say, feed yo soul. I literally had my tech team write, are you sure, Pastor? It looks like that was incorrect. Our spell check, you might want to check. And I said, no, we're saying it just like that. Go ahead. No grammar Nazis here. I know it's incorrect, but I just want you one more time. Just look at somebody and say, feed, yo, soul. And try to smile while you're doing it. All right. Some people are like, I am not saying that. That is incorrect grammar. I want to tell you that true health starts inside, and the key to true health, the key to it all, is your soul. Your soul is key. In the Bible, Jesus teaches us about the importance of the soul. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 16, 25 through 27. They're going to have it on the screen, but we're going to take some time in this passage, and I'd love for you to really pay attention and get this word inside your heart. Matthew 16, verse 25, Jesus says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. Next verse, it says, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what they have done. Let's talk about these three verses today. We're going to take some time on them. Verse 25 is a paradox. It's kind of backwards, Jesus. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. So here it is. If you want to save your life, lose it. And you might be going, okay, what? And if that's you, that I get that. That is all right. Save your life according to Jesus, you lose it. What is he telling us there? He's saying you don't have the power to save your life. How many knows that's true? You can work as hard as you want, but you can't save your own life. You need a power that is above you to save your life. You need somebody who can breathe life, speak life, is the resurrection and the life. And we happen to know that person. His name is Jesus. And Jesus is saying, if you try to save your life, you're only going to lose it. But then Jesus flips it around and he says, lose your life for me. And this is key right here. Watch. He says, lose your life, not just in any way, but lose your life specifically for me, for Jesus, and then you will find it. Now listen, what a thing that is to say. Can we just get real for a second? What a thing that is to say. Because Jesus is either an egomaniac that's just completely full of something, and we should never listen to another word he says. Because if anybody just walks up to you and says, hey, you really want to find life? You listen to every word I say and follow me. And if you don't, you won't even find your life. You would be right to question such a person, right? We hear these kind of speeches every 4 years around November. Politics. Won't say any more about that. Jesus is either one of these egomaniac types, or he is right. What if he is right? How many know that he's right here?
Right.
And Jesus is telling us this, get this, that you have not really found your life until you have lost it for me. Not that you've gained it, but you had not even actually found it. The moment that you listen to Jesus and you start giving of yourself for him, for his purpose, that is the moment that you actually find your life. That's why when you come to Jesus, it changes everything. That's why when you come to Jesus, you're like, it's like I'm a different person. Some people say, you are like completely different. And you start to talk differently. You start to feel differently. You smile differently. You don't get ticked off like you used to get ticked off. What is that? It's because you found something. You have found the life that you had never realized before. And this is the Jesus that we're talking about. This is not egomaniac Jesus here. No, that's not a right at all. Because this is the kind of Jesus we're talking about here. He says to serve others. How do you lose your life for me? He says serve others. That's what he's talking about. Not him, serve others. And then he says clothe others. Not clothe him, clothe others. And he says feed others. And then he says to welcome others and to forgive others and to love others. And there's like 90-something one another's in the New Testament because it's constantly driving us to lose our life for him in the lives of others. That's the Jesus we're talking about. Not an egomaniac at all. Not a crazy person you can't trust, but a servant that loves at the level that no one else can love. In giving your life for Jesus, that's how you find life. If you are in this place today or listening online and you're like, man, life sucks right now. If that's where you're at, I want to ask you, what are you giving your life to? Because if you're giving your life to some ABC CEO, then yeah, that's probably not very fulfilling for you. You know what happens when you work really hard at a place? Well, it could go really well, but at any moment, they could have cutbacks and say, hey, we're going to have to let you go. And suddenly, you're out on your own, and all those people that you thought were your friends are like, sorry, I'll call you. And have any of them to this day ever called you? Not a one of them has called you. But that's you giving your life for a dollar bill or for some kind of level of success or for some external achievement. But only in giving your life to Jesus do you actually find life. And it's crazy because you might take a dollar out of your pocket and give it to a person you don't know and feed them, and you can walk away not feeling poorer but richer. You can walk away not feeling like you have less. You can walk away feeling like you have more, like you have life living inside of you. And it's such a great feeling. And then Jesus pivots from the paradox by revealing what true gain is. What's true gain? What's the next verse? Let's look at it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? According to Jesus, what is true gain here? Your soul is true gain. Your soul is where real life shows up. Now, when we're talking about the soul, we're not talking about external. We're talking about internal. And we're talking about eternal. There, it's on the inside. Nobody can reach in and touch their soul. And there is no time for your... there's no expiration for your soul. Your soul is somewhat eternal. Your soul will live on. Your body will die. We'll put it in a box. We'll put it in the ground. But your soul exists without a body. They were told these things in Scripture. They're pretty clear. It's not external that Jesus is saying is true gain. It's something on the inside of you. It's something that's eternal. Now, you stop for a second. Because that's why all of heaven and hell is focused on you. That's why there really is an enemy called a devil. I don't mean to scare you. But there is an enemy called the devil, and he really does want to attack you. He doesn't want to just like hurt your car or hurt your house or give you a bruise on your shin when you're walking through your house and it's dark at night and you hit your leg on the coffee table. I've got news for you. That probably wasn't the devil. Nathan, you can still blame that on the devil if you want. But the devil is not interested in your leg bone as much as he's interested in your soul. He's after your soul. And Jesus is after your soul. Heaven and hell, and you're in the middle. What's important in this, all of this, is your soul. That is what true gain is. Now, that's thinking internally, thinking eternally. But we don't spend much time on any of that. We think externally. We go, a new car. And if somebody comes in here with a new car, we're all high-fiving them. And you know what? If you get a new car and you come in here, I'm going to high-five you. And you can give me a ride. And I won't even like pick up any fast food and bring it in your nice new car and mess it up. But you know what? That new car, as awesome as it is, it's not true gain. There's not true life in that. In fact, I hate to tell you, but the moment you drove it off the dealership lot, it lost percentage of its value. And it's a terrible thing to think about. When someone buys a new car, you should never tell them that. Or a new phone. Is anybody ever excited about a new phone? I am guilty of that. I am way excited about a new phone. But I got to tell you, it's not true gain. Because as soon as you buy that thing, it starts to depreciate. And they start pushing out these updates. And my gosh, if Samsung and iPhone and all those things are not trying to slow down your phone so you need one next year, there's not true life found there. A new house is really awesome. But again, it's not true gain. And it's not true life. Jesus emphasizes that the soul is more valuable than anything else we could gain in this life. He says, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world? Imagine you have the whole world, but you lose your soul. Jesus says that's not a good deal. Jesus emphasizes your soul more than the world and all of its stuff. He didn't just teach this to us. He demonstrated by giving his life to save the souls of knuckleheads like you and me. All right? And if that offends you, I was talking about your wife, sir. So, Jesus has this paradox. Lose your life for me, you find it. Nothing's more valuable than your soul. And then he talks about a reward. Somebody say reward? Whoa, you have me at reward. Right? They put reward signs, you know, missing dog, and the big words there are always reward. And you're like, oh, is that dog anywhere around here? We love a reward. Jesus talks to us and tells us that there is a reward. For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and he will repay. The other word for that is reward each person according to what they have done. Jesus will repay. Jesus will reward whatever you have done. Those that lose their life, they are rewarded. Those who don't sell their soul, they are rewarded. Your life and your soul are inseparable concepts. When it comes to your life and your soul, you don't separate those two things. In fact, C.S. Lewis says it like this. He says, you do not have a soul. You are a soul. Somebody say those words. You are a soul. It's not that you have one. That you are one. I was about to say is one, but I've already used enough bad grammar for the day. Everything we do, every decision we make, our true health stems from the condition of our soul. So do you have a healthy soul? How do you feed your soul? I'm going to take the rest of the sermon and talk about this right. How do you feed your soul? In order to feed your souls, we need to connect with something greater than ourselves. Greater than ourselves. Let's talk about how we can do that. There is a blessing in ancient Jewish prayer called Mode Ani. Say Mode Ani. Yeah, the first time they saw this was in the 1500s. They think it goes way before this. But Mode Ani is a Jewish morning prayer that focuses on the soul. It expresses gratitude to God for restoring one's soul each morning. When you wake up, you were to pray this Mode Ani. Also, when you wash your hands, you're supposed to pray this Mode Ani prayer. Here's the prayer. It says, I give thanks before you, living and eternal King, for you have returned within me my soul with compassion. Abundant is your faithfulness. That's the Mode Ani prayer. Now, are we dealing with magic words here? Is this like you say these words just right, and now ding, an angel gets its wings and you're blessed. Is that what happens? No. These are not magic words, but a practical refocus of your life. What does it refocus on? Real quick, here's what it refocuses on. It refocuses on thanks. It refocuses on you being thankful. It refocuses you on God as your eternal King. And it refocuses your soul in God's control. That it's God that is returning your life to you. That it is God that's allowing your heart to be. That it is God who has placed this soul in you and returned it to you today. And you are focused once again on God's faithfulness. Because if He did it today, it means He has done it every day of your life for as long as you have existed. I want to remind you to feed your soul. We need to connect with something greater than ourselves. What is it that you reach for first thing in the morning? What is that first thing you reach for? I'll bet on it. We'll bet on it. I'll bet you a free coffee downstairs that the first thing you reach for is probably your phone in the morning. Probably it's your phone. It might be your phone because it's an alarm and that's they've already got you. You go there and you push that button and you got a little notification there at the top and you just, I wonder what that is. Oh my gosh, Courtney bought a new dog. What amazing stuff. And you're like reading about Courtney's dog. Get a dog? Oh, I was a little off there. Sorry. But you probably reach for your phone, right? I want to tell you, there's not much on your phone that is life-giving. Not much on social media is going to feed your soul. In fact, we could argue the opposite. Somebody said, amen. Oh my, come on, I got something there. And most texts will not feed your soul, right? Especially those, you write them something really long. You go, I need you to do this. And then you mean this to me and you're so important to me. And well, how do they respond? Okay. Oh my gosh. You won't get in fights with your spouse if she like gives you this long, wonderful thing. And I knew from the first moment I saw you, Kay, don't do that. But there aren't many texts that will feed your souls and your Google Calendar schedule. It's important to keep up with that. But it doesn't feed your soul. All these things vying for attention, they're all external. Nothing is internal or eternal. What if we reached and connected first thing in the morning with something, or should I say someone, that's greater than ourselves? And what if we said something like this? You don't have to memorize this. I'm not going to ask you to memorize this and make this exactly your prayer. But what if we took a moment and we said in the morning, God, I give thanks before you, living and eternal King, for you, yes, you have returned within me my soul with compassion. Abundant is your faithfulness. What if we connected with the God who is greater than us, the one who is internal and the one who is eternal, and we let Him be the focus of our life. And before we started our life, we refocused on all the goodness of God. And then we set out to go do all the external things in life. You see, I'm not suggesting for a moment that you can't be focused on the external things. Yeah, you gotta go do your work. And kids, you gotta actually go to school and do good on the test. And yet you actually have to go get milk. Do not forget it, mister. You gotta go get milk. And you've got to go get these things. All these external things you have to do. But what do you reach for first? What you reach for first might be declaring what your God is. Might be declaring what your true faith is in. If we're not careful, we'll reach for our phones trying to feel something. Trying to get something out of it. And we're trying to get life out of it. And Jesus told us 2,000 years ago, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. You're going to try to gain your life only to lose it. And how many people are looking at their phone and they're wasting away right in front of us. And they're losing their life trying to gain it. Oh. So what do we do about this? Here's what we do. We make connecting with God and feeding your soul a part of your morning routine. It's not hard. It's not hard to make God first. And here's just some suggestions we have. You wake up with intention. Just making Him the first thing. God, I want You to be the first person I talk to in the morning. And I sometimes just wake up. Now, if I'm getting up at 4:30 and nobody's up yet, I don't say this. I might wait till I get out into the kitchen. But I will let a God, I sure need You today out of my mouth. And I'll say, God, I thank You for getting me out of yesterday. And thank You, God, for helping me today and being with me today. And I'll start into prayer while I'm doing all the external things. Like while I'm getting my drink ready so I can go to the gym and work out and be all stupid and sweaty looking in my sweatpants. Look awful. I will try to look better one day. But I'm waking up with that intention of what my priority is and what is first in my life. Then number two, I'll pray sometimes while still in bed. And you can pray silently or aloud. All right? Do either one. You're going to pray silently. It's a little bit like this. I've got that. You just pray silently. What am I thinking in my head while I'm praying silently? I'm saying, God, this is me loving You, needing You. You know all the pitfalls in my life. Help me. Help me to worship You and follow You today. And you can do that silently. You can do that aloud. Number three, pause and reflect on God's compassion. God, You're so good to me. And You do it so often. Faithfulness. You've been so consistently good to me. And the restoring of your soul. That's like I'm alive again. I woke up this morning and I didn't have to. Some people went to bed, never woke up. But God, because of Your goodness, here I am. And number four, then you begin your day with purpose. And you go do all those external things. But watch how different you feel. Look at the life that is teeming in you and overflowing in you. But what do you do? What is all this? Here's what it really is. Stop just going through life and grabbing for all the stuff. Stop that. Instead, start making deposits in your soul. Start building foundations and build a routine. Practice. Make it a routine. All right? Here's some ideas I just jotted them down. You can read your Bible. Do you know it's easier than ever to read your Bible? It really is. I can open up my Bible on my phone. Just, was there a shot and everyone's okay? That's good. Thank You for restoring my soul to me. I thought it left for just a moment there, but He brought it back. Faithful. All right. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Y'all watch that back. I'm pretty sure I flinched all over there. That was just the Holy Ghost, guys. I felt it. Listen, I was talking about your phone right there. You could pick up that phone. They have a YouVersion Bible app. And you say, I want to listen to this. You go to a scripture. If you can't figure out a scripture, it gives you one on the homepage. You just click that. And then you push a little speaker icon. And they will read it to you. You connect that to your car speaker. And now you're driving to an external place, your word. But God is filling your life on the inside with something eternal. And it's the word of God. And then you could worship with music. You could worship with music. You could listen to one of those radio stations where they're just playing some good Christian music and you could listen to it. You could worship. And you could walk. You could go for a walk. Maybe you go for a walk during the day. Well, as you're going for a walk, invite God to walk with you and just have a conversation with God, right? And then it doesn't feel like this high, starchy kind of prayer thing that we struggle with sometimes. Oh, Thou most perfect, wonderful God. You don't talk to anybody like that. So don't talk to God like that. Just be normal with God. Say, whoa, it's really hard at work right now. I really need Your help, right? Like you would call your buddy and say, my boss is totally crazy. Okay? And you're just talking to God perfectly normal. And these two, they really came to me. And so I put those. How about this? Thank God for whatever you touch. When you get up in the morning and you go and you touch the clothes in your closet, make a moment to thank Him that He gave you these. You go and you get a jug of milk out of the refrigerator. Thank you, God, that we have food in our refrigerator. And you go to your car, and it might be, you know, not a great car. It might not be a great car, right? It might be a Pinto. Remember the Pinto? Anybody remember? It could be one of those kind of cars. But you're going to go to that car. You're going to start it, and you're going to say, thank you, God, it started today. Thank you, God. It started. But no, thank you, God, for my car. And whatever you're touching, you're thanking God for. And that could be a part of your prayer life. We were in a Connect group late last year, and somebody said, I don't know how to pray. I said, here's how you pray. Pray while you're getting dressed and just talk to God about what's going on in your life. And they started doing that, and they started to learn how to pray. And they came back the next week and said, I've been doing that. Isn't that great? It's so simple. You just start building that routine in your life. And then how about this one? Thank God for whoever you meet. Thank God. You meet someone new? Take a moment. Thank God that I met that person. Lord, I pray for them, and I pray that you'd open up a door for me to share Jesus Christ with that person. Even the people that are your enemies, I want to challenge you to thank God that they're still alive, that they still have a chance to do what's right in life, and pray for them. You know who taught us to pray for our enemies? Jesus. That was Jesus, right? So these are some things for you to do. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. And as they're coming, I want to imagine together. Imagine if we prioritize our soul. What's internal, what's eternal. Imagine if we as a marriage did that. Imagine if we as a family, as a church, imagine if our city became more focused, prioritizing things that really mattered, things of the soul. Focus not on external, but internal and eternal. You know, if we focus on what's internal and eternal, you know what we would defeat? We would defeat materialism. You would defeat drug habits. You know what you would defeat? You would defeat unthankfulness. You know what you would defeat? You would defeat all the vices that are in your life just by focusing on the things of the soul. We could create a ripple effect beyond us that would affect peace and joy that spreads beyond our walls if we would do that. According to Jesus, this is what Jesus tells us. Rimshot, let's do it. According to Jesus, we would find our life. Y'all say with me, right here, right here. According to Jesus, we would find our life, we would maintain our soul, and we would receive a reward. Would we stand all over this place? I've got three things for you to do this week. Three things to do. It's a call to action. Number one, I want you to be aware of the life, soul, and reward that Jesus spoke about. I want you to repent of apathy. And I want you to really remember this phrase from C.S. Lewis. I don't have a soul, I am a soul. And so you're going to focus on the soul. You're going to focus on these things this week. And repent of that apathy. That apathy that's always focused on the external. Repent of that. Number two, make connection a routine. Start each day with a practice. We mentioned some today. Find one of those practices and say, okay, I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that. Instead of reaching for my phone first thing, I'm going to talk to God even while I'm still in bed. Talk to God that way. Do find one of those things. Find it. And then there's the Mode Ani blessing, or create your own. We have that idea. Create your own. Don't feel like you're tied to that. But if you're like some people, you're like, I don't know what to do. I think I'll do that word for word. Go for it. That's great too. They've been doing it for hundreds of years. It's been pretty good for them. Why don't you give it a try? And then number three, these other things are during this week, but right now in this moment, I want you to invite God to restore your soul. Right there in the middle of the 23rd Psalm, it says of the Good Shepherd, it says that you restore my soul. God makes your life brand new, that He stirs up life in you. Right now, I want you to invite God to do that in your life. And they're going to sing some songs Why don't you worship and pray? And if you're going through some stuff, why don't you receive prayer? You could ask somebody nearby you to pray for you. Or you could come here to the front and ask God. Ask others around you to pray with you. Why don't you come right now? Dream Team, let's come. Let's reach out to God in this place. As they begin to sing, we begin to worship. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everybody in this room. And I pray for all my friends watching and listening online, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be focused on what's true about us. What we are as soul, God. And how important our soul is. Lord, help us, God, to be restored by you, God. Help us, God, to not be focused on external, but be focused on the internal, on the eternal things of you, God. In Jesus' name, friends online, begin to pray to God. Ask God to make a difference in your life. Decide that this week I'm going to live life differently. Make me healthy, God, from the inside out. Feed my soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemptionplano.com. We want to hear more from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or even our anonymous text line at 469-651-1178. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.